My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot.
I'm going to have to just give you a pause here for a minute. I'm going to play some music. We have a little incident with the bears in the backyard, are my two puppies. I'll give you an update. Give me about 30 seconds. Oh, boy. I got to make sure. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is a problem. I will be right back. I'm just going to play part of that song again, and I'll be right back.
My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot.
Okay, we're back. Good morning, Patriots. Today is Thursday, April 25th in the year 2025. And I'm in Pendleton heading out back home today. So it'll be good as the puppies are very energized today. When you start watching your dogs and suddenly you start to see pieces of bark appear out of nowhere, you realize that somebody has decided that it's a good idea to tear at something And that's ultimately what I had to go discover, is what they were chewing on. And they are chewing. And so hopefully we can keep them calm as we go forward here. They, it's never ending, I'll tell you. They're getting into that phase now where everything is a everything is available for the teeth to gnaw on. And so I'm sitting here as we're starting the show, and I'm watching them very proudly displaying to me that they have found some pieces of bark. And I'm like, oh, please don't do this. This is not a good thing. So I think we've had our discussion. I explained to them that that was not an acceptable behavior, and they seem to have received that well as they gnaw and tear apart those pieces of bark that they had. So, and someone said chew toy. Oh, they've got chew toys. I give them these chew sticks and bully sticks, and they are like supposed to be like for big dogs, right? They'll chew through one in a day. They are something. So someone says buy lots of bones. There's a lot of things that I think you need to understand. Like I have a Jeep equipped with all the tools necessary to keep the puppies chewing on the right things. But even the offerings are not always enough, because there's always something better. That's a good suggestion here in chat. Someone says my slippers. It's like, yeah, I'm probably going to order a case of them. They're on sale right now. I'll just start throwing them out there and letting them chew them. So, oh my goodness. Doesn't matter how much you prepare, the puppies will find something new and creative to gnaw on, I'll tell you that. So, always a challenge, always an exciting morning. Oh my goodness gracious. So, there's your puppy report. Besides the fact they've been totally energized, I sent some videos over to Nikki. You can see them. They've grown immensely in the last 2 weeks. Matter of fact, I'm looking this morning going, oh my gosh. They are fully energized and ready to roll. So they're destroying their chew toys this morning, playing tug of war, playing tackle. And it's not even 7 o'clock. And I expect if it's like yesterday, the sprinklers will probably come on again today. I encourage them to come inside, and that was not part of our discussion this morning. They had nothing to do with it. So I'm like, okay, here we go. So there we go. We're going to be having an exciting day as we start to wind down here and head home. I've actually had to change paths. I was going to go to my parents' place and let them meet the puppies first, and then I got notice that it's supposed to rain today, and my dad has been doing a bunch of work back in our garden area back there. And so the change of plans was no, probably going up to the ranch first, because that will only produce mud. And if there's mud, that will be 2 35 to 40 pound puppies that are now covered and coated gladly and happily in all the mud of the backyard. So that has to be, it's just one of those things. So anyway, there's your puppy report, the ongoing saga. So I'll have to be more videos to start showing you this. This is definitely part of my next step here to get those out so everybody can enjoy this moment. I'm telling you, I'm just rolling my eyes. It's like there's a squirrel that has been running across the electrical line. And yesterday, Nika was trying to figure out how to climb a tree. Now, that sounds like no big deal, except to understand these dogs, that's the concern, is she will figure it out. Because there'll be like, pretty soon I'll be having a dog climb a tree like a cat. And she wouldn't hesitate to try. She's that energized. And so there, the squirrel runs across the power line, and they race along the backyard and race back, and they try to go after it. And then there's a small crack in the back fence, which they've been trying to exploit, which I've been trying to encourage them, obviously, not to. So they're never ending. Think it through and try to overcome the tasks ahead of them, including, by the way, just so I say this, these are puppies that watch me open and close a door. And if they want to get out or get in, they will go up and climb up, raise up on that door and see if they can figure out how to open it. Yeah. So anyway, there we go. Smart dogs. It's going to be something, I'll tell you. All right, Patriots, real quick before we get going, make sure you're prepared. As we know, there's a lot about preparedness in our day. Some of that is financial, and we have a lot of unsettling things coming on in our world. We have a constant degradation of our economy through the massive debt the destruction of the fiat currency and ultimately the destruction of the Federal Reserve note, I believe, is where they're headed. Your investments are important, and the time that you've spent earning that money and trying to make sure you have a retirement savings is important. As the dollar devalues, that's itself a built-in inflation. You need to find something to get your money in your 401ks and IRAs backed and stabilized, and that's through precious metals. So get hold of Birch Gold, and the way you do that is you text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898, and again, that's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898, and they'll send you a free information packet. Read through it, get informed, and give them a call. Talk to them about how they can help you. If you have an existing IRA or 401k, they'll convert it over to a precious metals-backed IRA or precious metals-backed retirement account at no additional charge to you. And they will advise you on how to set one up. They'll also get you great advice on precious metals. Think about precious metals as well. There's three essential values. There's the weight value, which is the ounce value of the precious metals. There is the currency value. If you are doing things like American Gold Eagles or American Silver Eagles, that has a face value that's legitimate. And then there is the collector's value. So there's three tiers of value when if you're actually getting hold of physical precious metals. So all these things Birch Gold can advise you on. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. That's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. Do that today. Get your information packet and you're on your way. It's good. We have some interesting developments happening in Texas, and this is kind of the state of things. I'm going to play this just so you can hear the chaos of this as I kind of talk this through. But this is the sound of the Texas police and moving in to the demonstrations at one of the protests going on at the university. These are arrests are being made right now, and they'll continue until the crowd disperses, so it is left alone by Greg Abbott. These protests belong in jail, says Greg Abbott. This is his post. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Students joining the hate-filled anti-Semitic protest at public college or universities in Texas should be expelled. That comes from Greg Abbott. This also comes from Greg Abbott. I want you to hear this. Just take a listen.
Some colleges are banning free speech on college campuses. Well, no more, because I'm about to sign a law that protects free speech on college campuses in Texas. Shouldn't have to do it. First Amendment guarantees it. Now it's law in Texas.
Well, so that's First Amendment right for free speech on college campuses as long as it is not anti-Israel. And that would be anti-Khazarian mafia, fake red Jews that we're talking about here. These are the Zionist movement that has now seized control of our government. This is how they do things. They have created laws specifically that you cannot speak against Israel, cannot protest against Israel, cannot boycott Israel. Texas is now on board. So keep that in mind as you look towards Texas leading the way towards being kind of like this independent republic. It is obviously controlled by those of the powers of the Zionist movement, and they are protecting their right to be untouchable by voice, by any sort of condemnation, or by any sort of action legally. This, again, we spoke of this yesterday, and it's important if you have time to try to research this. I know Nikki has put this up on our social media. Check out The Architect Part 1 and 2. This will give you a very solid history of the sorts of things that we're dealing with in terms of this group of people. It dates back to the Khazarian region, which is very close to where Ukraine is, and the tie-in with Russia and Mother Russia. So this is a long-standing problem, and we know this, and it's becoming part of our problem. It is our way going forward that's being mapped out literally as we face a major problem in our nation in the future years. This year, as I've said, with President Trump in play, we have at some point or another, whether it's RFK Jr. or whether it's Trump, both of them have ties to the Zionist elements, and you have to really be understanding of this. And we're probably and most likely end up with Trump, but we're setting up to be seeing the same thing as we always see in politics. It'll be new faces, ultimately, same stuff, different face, different time. Both candidates are controlled and owned potentially, and I can't speak fully for Trump, but we should have a great deal of suspicion at this point in time because of the nature of him being at the wall, wearing a yarmulke, and his relationship even through Jared Kushner, Ivanka's wife, or a husband. Maybe he is a wife. I don't know. I can't tell who he is. But anyway, he might be a he-she. I doubt it. But Ivanka's husband. So anyway, the question we have really is, where are we headed as a nation? And until we get these rules off the books and stop and get states from stopping to produce a law that protects Israel at any cost, you have an untouchable class of people. And no matter how many ways you dice that, that does not produce a positive end effect. So it's just something that we have to be very vigilant on. And this is a problem that is not going away. And it's actually getting worse. Here's a report from Wall Street Apes. And this is, as it's read here, and we'll play a video here in a second. Former Marine has shocking intel. He says, they've begun selling our weapons to our effing military and our effing military equipment over in Mexico to the cartels. He continues, I've been able to prove that, and that's why I'm supposed to go back to the Master Chief Petty Officer Navy, because there's boats if you ride around in Chula Vista and go right over there by the industrial plaza, by the Food for Less, and you'll see there's Navy boats that came from the SEAL boat installation that they took out. They're taking them apart and they're taking them across the border. All of this stuff is going across the border, and I'm not lying to you. Take a listen to this.
You're a
this
fellow Marine.
Listen, man, I'm really on orders. Okay. And you probably don't believe me, and you probably don't even care, and it's okay. But people are getting hurt, and this ties into a whole bunch of stuff. They've been selling our weapons and our fucking military equipment over in Mexico to the cartels. As in, I've been able to prove that, and that's why I'm supposed to go back to the Master Chief Petty Officer Navy, because there's boats, if you ride around in Chula Vista, and go right over there by fucking, what is that called? The industrial plaza, by the Food for Less, and you'll see there's Navy boats that came from the SEAL boat installation that they took out, and they're taking them apart, and they're taking them across the border. All of this stuff is going across the border, and I'm not lying to you, man.
Well, Marine, I wish you all the luck. Semper Fi. I'm a former Marine myself.
We're going to need a lot more than luck. If those cartel members use that stuff against us, and they are going to use that stuff against us, we're going to need a lot more than luck.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Godspeed.
So this is obviously, if you're paying attention to how this is all playing down, and it's kind of stunning to me that people are still having a hard time seeing it. I'm not suggesting anybody here, but on a national level. We are obviously seeing where the true loyalties rise. So you take the measure that was just passed to fund Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. It was the congressional members that waved Ukrainian flags on the floor. What that tells you is their loyalty is no longer with the United States. They're with another country, Ukraine. Ukraine is the hub of the Khazarian mafia. And that is where that ties us to Israel. It ties us to other places around the world. They have infiltrated governments all over, and in so doing, they are using the people's tax dollars, or using the government money to fund their insurgency, which is spread out across the globe. When you try to talk about having the Zionists removed and put back to Israel, you are claimed to be a anti-Semite, and that's because they cannot exist and function the way they do unless they literally are being parasites within other nations. This is what we're dealing with. We are dealing with a parasitic class of people that have infiltrated the governments and are using their rules and their laws to subjugate their own people in the country. So it's a real challenge and a real problem. With that, it's important to note that Japan is now fighting back against the mRNA, which obviously was the same part of this movement. And that mRNA is, they're investigating now against the WHO and the treaty and so forth, fights back against that. I want you to hear this piece from Greg Reese. Here we go.
ここに我々は 子供たちを守る日本を守ること
。違う。
The Japanese are normally not inclined to protest, but thousands of them are now marching together in protest of the deadly experimental shots and the WHO pandemic treaty. They are being ignored by their government and media, and they deserve our recognition and support.
These protests are huge. This is, We do not accept mRNA flu vaccines, is what they're saying. Stop manufacturing dangerous replicon vaccines. Disclose us all information about the WHO pandemic treaty and the IHH. We never allow WHO to take tyrannical actions. Never accept WHO's human rights violations. Stop fatal toxic mRNA vaccines. People all over the world will realize our protests against the pandemic treaty today.
They are launching a class action lawsuit for the families who lost loved ones to the deadly shots, and for those whose lives have been destroyed. And the plaintiffs are being heard as they share their painful stories.
And then came the autopsy. Says, the time when my son, once cured of life, lay alone in a cold dark room in a cellar in my box, waiting to be autopsied for an entire day. The image refuses to leave my mind. I can't forget it. Don't look away from reality. Why is vaccine not halted?
Medical professor of Osaka City University School, Misayasu Inoue, has recently delivered a warning to the world that Japan has contracted with the WHO to develop a new vaccine for Disease X, which is expected to be deployed worldwide later this year.
A plan was set up to shorten the time to develop vaccines, which usually takes longer than 10 years, to less than 1 year. Operation Warp Speed. This operation was used to cover up the misconception of the genetic vaccines under the pretext of saving time. And an extremely dangerous medicine was selected. I believe that the fraudulent use of experimental gene therapy to healthy people, particularly to healthy children, is an extreme violation of human rights. The Japanese government is the first in the world to approve a new type of vaccine called self-replication replicon vaccine, and plans to start to supply it this fall and winter. The Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry is providing a huge amount of subsidies for this project, and the factories to produce new vaccines are being built one after another in Japan. Furthermore, the Japanese government is currently soliciting large-scale clinical trials worth $900 million from pharmaceutical companies that are taking on the challenge of developing vaccines to prepare for the next pandemic by Disease X, proposed during the Davos conference this year. If Japan were to become a vaccine perpetrator, it would leave irreparable harm to future generations. Therefore, the actions of the Japanese government must be stopped by international collaborations. It is difficult to stop this movement because it is now politically hopeless to change the situation of the Japanese government. The message I would like to convey to the world is that when Disease X occurs in the future, you should never trust the Japanese-made vaccine.
A final draft of the pandemic treaty is expected to be presented for adoption at the 77th World Health Assembly in May 2024, which will undoubtedly be setting the world up for another planned assault under the guise of world health. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
I will point out that the logo for Disease X coming out of the WHO looks very much like X, the Twitter account. And this is not by accident, I'm sure. There's another correlation. There's some things just to think about, and that these are not to suggest anything in particular, but just some things to pay attention to. Planet X, also known as Planet Nibiru, is said to be incoming over the next few years to where it will be visible in the sky. The X that we talked about during the solar eclipse, that was the same symbol that they're using for X on the pandemic X. So there's something in this that we're not seeing clearly because they're not letting us see it or don't want us to see it. There is an event coming, and I will just... This I can say with great assurance that there is an event coming that they are fearful of, that they are trying to destroy humanity of or control humanity with something before it arrives, whatever that is. And that is something when we continue to talk about preparedness and being prepared in many ways, which the center part of preparedness is spiritual, scriptural, having your Bibles, getting in the Word, being with Jesus, these sorts of things. It is extremely important. These people that we are dealing with are sick. There is no, absolutely no dealing with them. They are a sense of evil beyond evil. And as we played a piece last night, which was about somebody who had been sexually abused and used in child cage matches, children killing children, this is the type of people you're dealing with that find pleasure in having children kill children, children being abused, mutilated, murdered by their own hand. We are dealing with a level of evil that we can't comprehend. And they see us with such disdain. They say that the term that they use is goyim, which is to say we are cattle. But I think it's very important to understand that even in terms of a cow or a calf, you would never do those things to them. This is a sadistic, evil species. And there's no other way to say it, that they are not human, at least not by function and not by existence. They seek to destroy all things which are God, all things which are us, and there is no room for them here on earth. I need to be clear about that. We are heading into a moment where we are going to have to pray into this, but be led, and there will be moments that will look very much like Jericho if we are going to want to save this world. There's no other way around that, because they have no place here on earth. You cannot save these types of people. People that find the joy in watching children kill children, or the joy in raping babies, or the joy in mutilating kids and doing this for ritual purposes, or even worse, creating a situation where it's like what we call the pedivore. These people are beyond salvation. These people are at the least millstones, and they must be removed, and there is no place for them on this earth. They are truly the spawns of evil, and it's something that we have to embrace and start understanding that if we're going to save this world, there's going to have to be some very hard stances that we take. They will be difficult for some because of the way in which people have been indoctrinated to such a degree. Israel, and this comes from a post from VK, all over the place. America has been played by Israel at minimum on 9/11 by providing false weapons of mass destruction intel to fool Americans into war, to remove Saddam, to further their Zionist agenda. We fell for it and droned countries' souls for this lie. Israel, seeing how effective this was, knew about the October attacks and welcomed them into one of the most secure borders in the world. We've talked about this. This is in Gaza. Israel stood down for hours just so they could have a reason to clear out Gaza on the world stage. If you bring up any of this, you are branded an anti-Semite. In my opinion, the truth is probably much worse, and I agree. It's probably more horrific than we have any idea. Keep in mind, and I read these statistics a while ago, that the hidden war here is against Christians. So as they attack in Gaza and claim it to be the Muslims, and they go after Hamas, and Hamas is ultimately partially funded by Mossad, it's both ends to the middle. It's the deception by deception we wage war mentality, both ends to the middle. The thing to keep in mind is that the group that's being truly annihilated are the old Christians. The old Christians, ancient Christians that live in Gaza have been almost completely annihilated. We did the same thing in Iraq, where 9 out of 10 Christians in Iraq were killed by our operations. So again, you can see the level of evil we are dealing with here. and the hatred for God and the hatred for all that is of God. And this is not going to get any easier as we move forward. We are dealing with people that are completely sold out. Another one is our current Speaker of the House, and this is something Steve Bannon has a few words on.
A little twerp. Oh, excuse me. With a biblical worldview. No, he's not doing a good job. He's not doing a good job defending you, and he's doing a worse job of defending this nation, and therefore he must go. And I don't care if it risks Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries runs the place anyway. Don't take it from me. Read the Politico puff piece. Oh, he talked to the generals in Europe. Oh, he read the intelligence. You're a clown. Oh, I talked to the generals defending our freedom. Are you kidding me? These NATO goofballs? And if you got it, bring it, bro. Bring it. Show us the evidence. Show us the receipts. Show us. Show us. Show us. You don't have anything.
No, they don't have anything because everything that they've been doing to justify it through intelligence reports is just another way of saying I'm not going to disclose the truth. They're all doing this for the sake of supporting their masters. I think we need to ask ourselves some hard questions, which is, and I go back to that incident on the floor after passing the bill for Ukraine. What promotes people to fly another country's flag on the floor after they celebrate a victory? These people are so arrogant and they're so in our face. They're showing you directly who their alliances and allegiances are too. And some of that is perhaps by blackmails, perhaps by the fact that they've been captured and trapped by their sexual escapades with children, which is likely, since that is the number one agent and control element for most politicians, because they are so corrupted and decrepit in their thinking. But nonetheless, this higher tier of control that is controlling the United States, they're doing it in our face. And as a public, people just aren't stepping into that next level. There's many more of us than them. And it's easy to overcome them. But we go back to where we began this discussion today, which is in Texas. You have Texas police arresting students on campus for protesting against Israel because Governor Abbott said so. What type of world do we live in now? And where is it that we've gone as a country where literally one type of First Amendment is okay, but another type of free speech isn't? Free speech is the full gamut and spectrum. And this is what I spoke of the other night behind the curtain. The concern that I have is that both candidates, ultimately, that we're faced with in some way or another are talking about trimming the edges of free speech. We can't speak against Israel. We can't speak against this. Trump has said so openly. He has said people should not be protesting this. This isn't free speech. This isn't a country. The principle of free speech is even the most difficult and divisive comments are brought to the public space. And that means that there's no fear of that as long as there's no threat to life and harm. But the problem we have right now is that people literally are so worn down and so programmed that we have the divisive politics that's steering the understanding of our own Constitution. Our founding fathers didn't define our Constitution by political whims or political bias. They talked about it in the nature of a free republic, which is we the people. And the we the people principle under the throne of God has a moral foundation, which we lack as a nation. We're morally bankrupt. So our discussions are just off chain. I mean, we are in a world right now where literally we are witnessing children, and we say this so frequently, but it's still happening. Children are being mutilated in surgeries. Where are we in a world like this where we literally have children that are at a place where they are being taken into the altar of Baal to be mutilated? It's beyond scope. It's beyond comprehension of what we're dealing with. And we are in a place now as a nation that we have to make some very hard, hard choices. I want to play this piece this morning, basically about more of the structure that we're dealing with.
President in 1910 and 11, you ought to know him in Ohio, was William Howard Taft, a Republican elected in 1908. And he was on record as saying he would veto a bill that would come to his desk concerning a central bank. He was a Republican and was surely to be elected to a second term in 1912. So William Howard Taft was the president, but he wouldn't go along with the scheme. So in the Republican primary, Teddy Roosevelt, anybody remember him? Teddy Roosevelt ran against Taft in the Republican primary. He was backed by this group of bankers, but he lost in the Republican primary. Listen to this. So they decided they'd have to do something about the regular election. So what did they do? They went and got Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, to enter the presidential race against Taft, a Republican, so that the Democratic candidate, Woodrow Wilson, who had pledged he would sign the bill, the Republicans would divide their vote, and therefore Woodrow Wilson would be elected with less than a majority vote. Couldn't beat Taft on his own, so then they financed Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, to run two Republicans in the presidential election, dividing the Republican vote. It's not about Republican or Democrat. I'm simply telling you how these people are able to manipulate the system. So their millions back a candidate, knowing that he's not going to be elected, so that their man can get elected, because he will pass the legislation to the central bank. He was elected by less than a majority vote, and the Federal Reserve System came into being.
I'm back. Hopefully. Let's see what's going on here. Did you hear me? I am back. Sorry about that. Yep. Well, people like sound. No, the video ended, and I had to. I'm still watching this disaster. The puppies are a little wound up today. I had to step away from the moment to go take care of another. It's an attack on the ground now as they dig holes. My hands are going to be full. Pray for me. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so anyway, this has got to be the craziest show I've ever done right here today. You're enjoying it. I know you are. So anyway, we are dealing with a level of manipulation in our country, in politics, that has been going on for years. And this is such levels of deceit and manipulation that we just don't see it, because it plays on the understanding of human behavior, which we as a people don't really understand ourselves. We are so easily manipulated, especially when it comes to politics. And it's why I say so often that the true root of all that we are doing has to be that in faith. And that's the sense of our nation, that we were subordinate to the throne, and then the government was subordinate to the wills of the people. Unfortunately, as they manipulate with media, and they have done this for years, the whole concept behind this is their manipulation of media gets people looking rather at the problem and the truth. We start to be used and manipulated so that their agendas, their bigger agendas, which are hidden, get passed. Our presidencies have been hijacked for many, many years. And this is going to be a very difficult issue we face as a nation as we go forward, is to understand how exactly we're going to run a nation when we have this sorts of evil always in the back end trying to turn us against ourselves. There is no innocence left in our nation. There is no purity of a institution. And unfortunately, the damage that has been done to the level that has been done is extreme. The transgender movement is one of the most destructive things you can do to society. The transgender movement and what they're doing behind the scenes is important to comprehend what the true and absolute motives are for that. Behind the transgender movement is a concept of understanding that they are trying to manipulate the end game of making pedophilia legalized. Take a listen.
Why do the pedophiles care about lesbians, bisexuals, homosexuals, and transgenders? If I am a pedophile, I don't want to go to jail. I'm a celebrity. I'm famous. Ritualistic sex is what we do with kids. It's part of our demonic culture. I want pedophilia to become normal. I want it stricken from the criminal code altogether. I'm going to push LGBTQ. Because if a child is old enough to decide, I never want to have children, take my testicles, take my ovaries. If an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old child is old enough to make those three decisions, how can you argue that they're not old enough to decide to have sex? The argument of the pedophile is going to be backed up by this LGBT crusade against our children, because in their sick minds, they are rationalizing the argument before the courts. If he's old enough to say, I don't want my testicles, if she's old enough to say, I never want to have children, if he's old enough to say, I want to live my life as a girl, if she's old enough to say, I want to live a life as a boy and I don't care about having kids, and she can say this at 12, is she not also old enough to decide when she's ready to have sex? That is going to be the argument that the pedophiles are going to take into court.
You can guarantee it. I want to read something here. This is from Pedophilia in the Jewish Talmud. It's this Sanhedrin 55b. Quote, a Jew may marry a three-year-old girl. Sanhedrin 54b, a Jew may have sex with a child as long as the child is less than 9 years old. And in the Kehethubath 9b, when a grown man has intercourse with a little girl, it is nothing. For when a girl is less than 3 years old, it is as if one puts a finger into the eye. The level of evil we are dealing with here, using religion and as a cover, is incredible. And we are watching it happen before our very eyes and ultimately doing nothing. The group and the voice between LGBTQ has become so untouchable by our attacks, because it is considered racist if you go after them. The problem is that they are the motion and the motive to legalize pedophilia and to mainstream that into the normalcy of our culture. Our youth are being raised on the concept that gender plurality is normal. That means that they have the choice as a youth to choose their gender destiny, even though they may not. But when the acceptance of those rules becomes mainstream in a society, which is where we are, there is no stopping where this goes. These are worse than the days of Noah, in my opinion, because we are now seeing a full onslaught of attack towards youth, and we're literally doing nothing as a people. There is no room in this world for pedophiles. I need to be clear about this. There is no room. These people do not have redemption at this point when we're walking down this path. And we're going to have to come to understand that. And this gets to the heart when we read the story of Jericho. What this is really saying, what God's telling us, is there's a point in time when people have left so far from him, have decided to worship the creature rather than the creator to such a degree that there is no redeeming anymore. That there is no place for them in this world. You cannot coexist with this. Once a person, if you understand this principle, which I think is critical, when a dog kills a chicken and gets chicken blood in its veins, it will never stop killing chickens. So either you keep them away from chickens, or you have to put the dog down. Some people say they can cure it by putting a chicken in the dog's mouth, taping it, wrapping it shut until the chicken rots and the dog will never touch chicken again. Perhaps that's true. I know that the dogs that I've had that have done that, I had two of them, we had to put them down. And that was the general practice. The problem is that that's very much what a pedophile is once they have stepped across that line. They've stepped across the moral and ethical boundary that is a massive one to say that it is okay to have sex with a child. It is okay as a doctor to mutilate a child and remove their reproductive organs and turn them into something other. When you get those people in that place, there is no redeeming that. And that redemption that they seek is through a millstone. It's very simple. We have to become stronger at this. And unfortunately, what we're not seeing enough of is we're not seeing enough people speaking out against this problem, because we are so wrapped around the axle of political solution. The political solution begins by saving the children, literally. When we understand the depth of corruption that goes with the child sex industry, what that represents in a nation, whether it's the consumption of child pornography, which we consume the most of any country in the world, that's the depravity of the male in this country. When we start to understand, and female, as I've said, I'm not going to exclude that, because that's the fastest growing market in the pornography industry right now. What have we become as a nation? You don't have to worry about, as a nation, we should worry about only one thing right now: absolute protection and saving of the children. To rid ourselves of this idea that God is imperfect, which is what the LGBTQ movement is about. It's telling you that your child is born as a gift from God and God is imperfect because he put them in a wrong body. This is a lie. And this is a lie that has been mainstreamed and accepted and that the left and the woke movement is built upon. And it's easy for them to build on it because they don't worship God. They worship their personal values of I shall do what thou will, which is a principle of Satanism. This message I know we keep coming back to, and we will, because it's the core issue of how we save this world. Rescue, heal, and restore centers on the children. And to understand the magnitude of that, to understand what that represents in terms of an entire world, when the world pivots to say no more to the children, that leads us to a place that no more will they be able to exploit and manipulate the things the way they have, because the children will always be our focus. There's no more acceptance of any form of this exploitation. There's no more acceptance of gay pride parades that literally, or LGBTQ parades that literally now use children in the parades dressed up in drag. We don't have any tolerance for drag queen shows with kids. We don't allow scat boxes in a high school. And if you do support those things and you find yourself out on the street or worse, being charged with criminal charges. But that's the mentality we have to get to, extremism in the sense of saving the children, because without doing this, we keep being pushed into their camp. You give them an inch, they will take 100 miles. They don't have any interest in ever compromising. They want all of what they want totally. And the mindset behind this LGBTQ movement that somehow it is okay to destroy children. This makes me sick to think of a young girl who is even before puberty that is literally being told that she's a boy. She believes it. Her ovaries are removed and she's given an artificial penis. What is this? A young boy who has, before he's of puberty age, he's being told he's a girl and he loses his testicles and his penis and is given a fake vagina. What is this? What are we doing? What type of horrific things are we involved in? And what is this being allowed? And this is on our watch. Where's the pulpit? I mean, I'm happy to talk about it here from the virtual pulpit. And that is just the way I always will be. You know that. But I'm one voice of a few that is not even coming out. Where are the people coming out of the pews and literally, as we would say in sports, coming off the bench to fight this thing? Where are they? Where's the love of children? Where are the men? Man, I tell you, it continues to just incense me, because this isn't going away. The momentum is increasing. And the issue here, which is the twofold, because I've had people say, well, this is not really as big as it is medically. Here's the deal. It is huge in the information space. And what that means is as it gets into the information space and settles into our education system, which it's deeply indoctrinated with, and the more that they allow this, the more normalized this behavior becomes in the minds of the youth. This isn't a war for a single year or generation. This is a multi-generational war. They know that the resistance sits with us. This is why we are such a threat. But their objective is to go two generations beyond us, to count on the fact that our voice will wane, the new children will rise up and be more accepting, and by the third generation out, counting us, they will be in a place where they will be a normalized situation where pedophilia will be as normal as strip pole dancers and a male stripper at a men's conference run by Pastor John Lindell. That's how extreme we're getting here. Where is our pulpit? What has happened to the church? The church that Christ loves is not here. It's in our hearts for those that want it. But this is the church that needs to be revived. And this is ultimately why there is wrath coming. Because the church has failed. And so as a kind of close up some comments here today, just to put this very clearly. And it's to this. For those out there that are in churches that are not speaking up against it, speak up. And if they don't respond, get out. You're part of the problem. They need to start seeing you leave those churches and understand that that message is not acceptable. We don't just get to soft toe this thing and walk around like it's no big deal. These are the hard issues. Politics are the easy issues. The hard issues are the ones that get to the kids. They get to the lifestyle choices. They get to the bold statements against this. When we go along and we see, and I mentioned Ukrainian flags being flown on the floor of the house, it's giving you their loyalty. When a church plants an LGBTQ rainbow flag with its 6 colors, not 7, you're seeing occupied territory. This is a real issue. And if we don't start leaning into this to say, okay, enough is enough, we throw our foot down, who goes to those churches? What do you feel like? I'm just trying to imagine what a Christ follower feels like that says they go to a church where we've accepted LGBTQ. What? Where does that say that in Scripture? Where does it say that, oh, we need to open our hands? And this is what ends up happening. We need to love them where they are. Great. I'll meet them where they are. And by the time they get to where I'm at, they're going to be so converted and on fire with Jesus, they'll either be speaking the gospel or they'll be going straight to hell. That's the commitment we make. So this incenses me. And I sit here and I look at two puppies, and I'll go full circle on this. And I'm sitting here every day, and we play, and they seek the attention and the love. And I ask myself, and it literally goes through my thoughts every day, what would it be like to take my dogs into a vet and say, I want their gender flipped? The vet would look at me and just like, are you out of your mind? Do you look at the physical body of a female and a male dog? Because we can't look at the, we don't teach that in our homes about men and girls and boys. You look at the physical anatomy, you ask yourself, how is it even possible? Anybody with a half sane mind looks at the stupidity of that concept. And yet somehow it has become okay. It has become accepted as a surgery to mutilate and destroy these kids. These kids are in pain the rest of their life. They're on drugs the rest of their life. And most of them commit suicide by the time they're in their mid-30s. No wonder why. To see the pictures, and if you take time, research them. I challenge you to research them. Look for surgery pictures of children post-transgender surgery. You will want to get sick to your stomach to see young children with their breasts removed and the stitch marks across their chests, to see the actual physical surgeries of what they cut off and what they remake. You will be sick to your stomach, and people need to be. They need to see this brutal truth. They need to see what is going on in these horror shops that we call transgender clinics. What is the mentality of the doctor that allows that to happen on their watch? What is the sickness that's in their mind? And tell me that they can repent? I'll say no. The only place you can find redemption is in the courts of heaven, and we'll help you find your way there. Man, it is unbelievable what we have become as a people. And as a people, I'm not going to speak beyond the Western societies, because it's the Western societies now that are driving this train. And it's driving this train because at the back end of all of this, we are literally looking at a manipulation of the mind of the people that has been engineered through the media and education system, which at the back end of that takes you right to Khazaria and the Khazarian mafia by design to take a nation down by its own hand. And in the meantime, the replacement of the new slaves are flooding across our border daily. And there's more interest to a segment of this population to be able to worry about the gender of their child than to worry about the replacements that are coming in. And I guarantee you, these new people coming in, they don't have a problem with choosing what the gender of their children is. Why? Because the war is against the Christians in this nation. And the Christians in this nation have become irreparably weak. God is calling a remnant. And if there's anything that will define Bard's Nation, it's the strength of the voice which we bring into the world to be God's remnant. So be God's remnant. Be uncompromising. Go Old Testament. And if you don't understand Old Testament because you've grown up on New, then get into the Old Testament. But the war is real. And it's time that we speak against this evil, are vocal, mobilize people to do so, and are uncompromising to this. If we had the love for children that as a nation we have for our dogs and our cats, we would be a different country. But we care more for the dog and the cat than we care for the little ones. And that speaks volumes to where we are as a nation, where our morality is, and how we see God. Let us pray. Father God, we've come to you today very humbled, and we're extending a prayer today for our nation, a prayer of mercy, equally a prayer of revival, and a prayer of awakening of the hearts. We have lost our way. And Father, we're not making any excuses for this. For each of us carries a burden on this moment. Each of us could do more and will seek to do more. And we make that commitment here in this day. And so we ask for those opportunities and those doors to open for each of us to do just that. But it's tragic. A nation now that we value our pets more than we value children. A nation where we've come to accept that somehow in a deep way that we can't affect the choices of parents, and those are the parents that are walking their children to the altar of Baal or Baal to have their children mutilated in a sacrifice to empower those who empower themselves in the cult of Satanism. A sad statement towards a people that started this nation at the foot of the throne, that have now become a nation that has put themselves at the foot of Satan himself. So, Father, we pray for mercy upon this nation, for you to hear the hearts of those that are screaming out to you and say, Lord, help us now. Help us now. Guide us, Lord, by your hand. And no matter the pain and suffering that we may have to endure, bring wrath to this nation. Bring judgment upon this nation. And for the sake of the children, Father, bring wrath and judgment upon this nation. The little ones have no choice. They're brought into this world without a choice, being manipulated and steered by evil. Evil in the overt way, and evil that is seeded into the minds of parents that have walked away to worship the creature rather than the Creator. For in their souls, they know truly the consequence of what they do. And yet, they choose to serve otherwise. Father, the words spoken today are my own, of no redemption, and perhaps in my heart that's not your way. So if those words are wrong and not of the way that you see things, then give us eyes to see. But Father, again, what is the redeeming aspect of somebody who finds pleasure in raping a three-year-old? What is the redeeming factor of somebody who finds pleasure in mutilating a child, knowing it by their hand, taking time and method and consequence in hand as they take the knife to the genitals and reproductive organs of a child? Where is that redemption? Because in the understanding that I carry in my heart, that redemption sits in a millstone, for it's the one crime in the Bible spoken by Jesus that has consequence for harming the little ones. So in this hour, Father, we need discernment. We need the Solomon prayer, the prayer to give us wisdom that only you can have and to help us see through this time. Because within us, it's a fire that burns, a righteous flame that is intense. It's angry. We're angry. We're angry at watching a world strip away the gifts that you're giving, the fools that are out here taking it for granted, walking in the reprobate mind to sit back and say, oh, but you're not perfect when you arrive in this world. The concept of those that sit and believe somehow that you as a God are imperfect, that you make mistakes by sending children into their wrong body, and therefore it's up to the hands of men to correct your errors. This is arrogance. This is that of the cult. This is men thinking they are gods. And the only thing that comes to my heart, Father, is the reminder in Joshua of the five kings that are brought down to the ground with the feet put on their neck to remind them that they can never be God. That's the judgment that we seek. That's the judgment of this hour. That's the judgment that we need in such a time. So, Father, wherever we walk, wherever we are, we pray for the truth that we see, the clarity which you would desire of us, for to love what you love, to hate what you hate, and to truly direct us on that path with that fire of righteousness to walk into our world uncompromising to this foolishness that's before us and this destructiveness to the children, your children, the gifts that we have to this world. They are being sent here. They are being sent here in this hour, and those that pass through the fire without being mutilated, we discover this generation is awake within the love of Christ, awake within the power of kingdom. And so that tells us again why the war is being waged, before those in power are most in fear. Fear of what is coming, fear of consequence, fear of wrath, fear of judgment. So let us understand that. Let us fight with the determination that our life here in the flesh has already been promised to be eternal after death. Let us commit to that level of intensity to understand that the only thing that is truly important now is to save the children. Guide us, Father, in this time. Bless us and forgive us for what we have failed to do. And now give us the fire and the sight to step into what we must do. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Three times today, we talked of the puppies. The beginning of the show was even slightly delayed because of the puppies and their rambunctious behavior. And I sit here and I just think of the value of life and what it would be as a nation to value life and the preciousness of innocence to such a degree. A child has an innocent period in their life that goes to about age 12, and then things start to turn a bit. They live on a farm, that innocence grows and develops in a mature way as they witness life and death. For a puppy, that innocence is about 2 years, depending on the breed, but about 2 years. And that's 2 years for them to imprint on you and you imprint on them. And that puppy behavior is nurtured because it gives them the spark and the intensity of what they are. But every single day is accelerated by about three times of what a child would be. And so every single day is a reminder of how precious their time is. And somehow we lose that meter. We lose that metric when we talk about children. Why? Where have we fallen to such a degree that literally the dogs and the cats have a greater value than the child that we are given by God? Father, forgive us. What have we done? Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But in the end, but we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight. The show might be a little bit late tonight, so just pay attention to that. I am traveling back. I only have about 5 hours, but I'm going to be making two stops today, important ones. One is to see Carson's shoes, who's in Green Grass Valley, and the other is to swing by, for those of you that were at Bard's Fest, to say hello to CJ and Rick Moyer, and they're in Portland on the way through. So, not sure exactly what time I'll be back, but nonetheless, I'll be back, and we'll have a show tonight. And so, there we are. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. And I'll see you tonight. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.